The scripture reading today is from Matthew 25, 35 through 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that them, to say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And the second reading is from John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of God, John, do you love me more than these? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. The Lords of God, for the people of God. Thank you.
Would you please join me in doing in unison the prayer for understanding of God's word? Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. It's so nice to be here with you this morning. My name is Donna Jensen. I go to church at Velderose United Methodist Church, which is in East Mesa. So this was a little trip for me to come here this morning. And as I look out in my church, if you say, well, you know who she is? She's the short lady with gray hair who wears glasses. I feel like I'm at home. I don't know why, but maybe it's because we all look that way. And I keep telling my hairdresser, every time he cuts my hair gets grayer, so maybe we're going to stop cutting it for a while. I am deeply indebted to Vonda Zedeker, the UMW president, as well as to my friend Jan Butler, who served with me on the conference team, for inviting me here today to celebrate UMW Sunday. And thanks so much, ladies, for your hospitality. And I do still appreciate Pastor Jen giving up her pulpit for me today. You know, when I came over the mountains yesterday, I looked up and I thought, my word, it looks like home. I grew up north of Amarillo, Texas, where there's nothing. It's all flat, barren, and the wind blows all the time. I left there when I was 18. So my first question is, what are all of you doing here? No matter what it is, you don't have to shovel it, do we? I met with a friend of mine who works with the alumni from the University of Maryland, and she came to Arizona for 2 weeks, and she picked the exact right time to come because she missed all of the snow back there, and she looked at me and she said, "Aren't I good?" Yes, she is. Did I mention that I grew up in northern Texas? I thought so. My life has been greatly enriched by growing up in a very small town, having my grandparents be a part of my life, and enjoying everything that small town life and my grandparents' farm had to offer. These memories are part of my legacy and my heritage. I have childhood memories that still bring a smile to my face, and in fact, we had a town reunion last Labor Day weekend, and we had 40 people there. That was really good. I have recipes from my grandmother, my aunts, my mother, and far more than that. Going to Sunday school and church every week was an expectation. My mother said, "We dress for God on Sunday." And that's what we did. Our church was white clapboard with a steeple, and it had movie theater seats, and that was something back then. Once a month, Mother volunteered to clean for Sunday. From the time I was about 4, I took my dust rag and the polish, and I would wipe and wipe and wipe. And Mother would vacuum, dust the pulpits and the organ, clean the bathrooms. Do you know, it never occurred to me that maybe somebody paid someone to do that? That was just what we did. I love that church. You know, when I went home, it was really hard because that church is gone. Nothing remains but an empty lot. But the memories, the things up here, can never be taken away. When there was sickness or a new baby or a death, the whole town pitched in and brought food. My mother cooked up one of her specialties, but more than that, she helped to clean the house or sit with someone or even take someone to the funeral home to make arrangements. Someone needed a house painted, but they weren't able to do it themselves. My dad would paint it for them, and he never charged them a dime. And I had a whole lot of grandmothers. There were the widows who lived in our town, and they were probably relatives of my relatives, if you know what I mean. And I loved to go to their houses because they smelled like molasses cookies and chocolate cake, and I can just close my eyes and smell. If they needed something fixed, Daddy fixed it for them. He could fix anything. There were several of the men who added on a room for a friend who was in the hospital with a new baby, number 6. She didn't have enough room in her house, so they built it when she was in the hospital. You know, back then we stayed in the hospital for a long time, and now they never let you in. In a matter of a few days, these men got all of this done, and I don't know how, but they did it. Well, these are nice reminiscences, you're probably thinking, but they don't have too much to do with me. Well, I think they do. I grew up in a world that doesn't exist anymore. And I regret that more than anything. But growing up in this Christian framework is my legacy. It is the fiber of my very being. One of the main things I learned is this: everyone in this town was my neighbor, my brother, my sister. So today, who is my neighbor? Is it the person next door or the man down the street? You know, the one that has a cardboard sign that says, "Please help me. I'm homeless. Family needs food. God bless." Is it the boy in the grocery store who has an obvious signs of a learning disability? How about the woman who wears dresses so short she can't possibly sit down and frequents the bars and seedy motels that rent rooms by the hour? Do you watch all of the TV news or just part of it? We're going to forget about the political right now. Do you see the starving children in Africa and the Middle East and say to yourself, this has nothing to do with me? Or does it not inspire even a single thought, much less a prayer? We watch the migrant crisis from Syria and the terrible living conditions they have in the camps. Do we watch the aftermath of a terrible mass shooting affecting our country like an epidemic and think, at least it's not in my town? The problem with drinking water in Flint, Michigan is affecting our most vulnerable children. And I pause because I wonder if this is the first time or the last time this will happen. How many municipalities have infrastructure that is ancient? There are more than you want to know. Our highways, our bridges, our ancient buildings, our water, sewer, and gas lines all are aging. Our landscapes are eroding away because of water, fires, and illegal logging. Most of these things are a part of our legacy as well. They came from the past and inherit our future and that of our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren. We Methodists also had a hand in changing the landscape of the Native American population in the Arizona Territory. We tried to drive the Indian out of them and make them just like us as we ran a boarding school. Today, the United Methodist Church is trying to repent and reconcile with our Native American brothers and sisters. Did you know that today, this is 2016, there are more people being held in slavery than at any other time in history? Just think about it. More people being held in slavery. And when I see people, I say men, women, children, and yes, even babies. They're being held for sexual perversion, forced labor, ransom, and more deviant reasons than any of us can possibly imagine. And this too is part of my legacy. Our legacy. The legacy of all United Methodists. And I weep. You heard Pastor Jen talk about something. Have you heard of the social principles of the United Methodist Church? How many classes are you going to be offering? Okay. The social principles are important, and you can find it in various and sundry places, but I suggest that you look in the Book of Discipline 2012. You can probably get it cheap right now because we're going to do a new one this year. In our social principles, we are charged with taking care of the earth that God has given to us and all of its inhabitants. We are called to be that people. This is our United Methodist legacy, our heritage. This is what we've been taught since John Wesley set us apart to reach the common man where they were, on the streets and in the factories, night and day, no matter where or who. What kind of legacy are we going to leave? What are we doing to continue our legacy? Are we doing anything? Are we accomplishing anything? And by the way, God, Who did you say my brother is? I hope that you are doing something to secure your legacy. But I know of one group who has been at the forefront of every gripping issue in this country, and I'm proud to say that it's the United Methodist Women. We will stand at the Super Bowl and every major event picketing for human rights, for the enslaved to go free, discouraging human trafficking and all of its degradation. This is going to be our legacy. We talked about the rights for Native Americans long before it pricked the conscience of the entire church. We fight for social justice. In 2019, we will be celebrating our 150th anniversary. We started in Boston, Massachusetts, in a snowstorm, listening to two wives of missionaries talk about the need for women doctors and teachers for girls in India. By the end of that year, they had secured enough money to send a woman doctor and an educator to India, and that was just the beginning. Our impact is felt around the world, in places you may never have heard of, doing things that you may never know. But just know that the United Methodist Women, our legacy, our heritage, we're trying to make a difference. It is our fervent hope that our legacy continues for another 150 years as we continue to fight for social justice for women, children, and youth. What is your legacy going to be? May we pray. Loving God, who knows all that we are and all that we aren't, we pray that you give us the will to make a difference in our world. May we strive to be the Christians you call us to be and the United Methodists that John Wesley wanted us to be. Striving forward, never looking back, let us hear your still small voice and become who you want us to be. Amen.